swings it in. The U.S. go up. What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra.
Boy, he'll try it long here. What a goal from Lloyd. This is spectacular. It's hit with no regard for humanity. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is. Switzerland. And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute. That was worth the price of admission alone.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, lots to get after tonight here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. Presented by the Daspit Law Firm and ably supported by Cactus Music, Danish Inspirations, Modern Contemporary Furniture, Lamont Brands, and Hugh O'Connor's Pub. Thursday night football, yeah. It's not the NFL. It's Argentina and Uruguay right now. Are you kidding me? That's Thursday night football. You got USA, Trinidad and Tobago coming up at 8 o'clock Central Time. Costa Rica and Panama. Houston Dynamo's own Coco Carrasquilla in that one. I have more on him tonight. So a lot going on in the world of soccer here. International break is on, and that's why it's going to be another 9 or 10 days before the Western Conference semifinal between the Houston Dynamo and Sporting Kansas City. So a lot to talk about tonight here. By the way, phone lines are open. So look, if you've got something important to say, say it. Don't be afraid. Dip in. It's better than doing it on social media. Be brave. Come on the show. 713-780-3776 is the number. You can hit me up on Twitter and Instagram at Glenn Davis Sock, at Soccer Matters GD. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, Soccer Matters, because our producer and our man that handles all those great videos and everything that are put together, he's Guillermo Lazo Romero. He does a great job there. So we're trying to build up the YouTube Soccer Matters channel. But all these likes and hits, I've never been aggressive to kind of go after that. I'm trying to get a little bit more aggressive. Am I supposed to be more aggressive, Guillermo? That's what you're telling me.
Yeah, in these kind of situations, you always got to be asking for likes.
Oh, man, I don't like to ask for things. Maybe that's my downfall. Maybe that's my downfall. Well, if you're out there and you want to like all our content, I mean, we put some stuff out. I put some stuff about Eric Sviatchenko out. That's got a lot of big run, and we appreciate that. But got a lot of takes. This is your place for the best in soccer talk, self-proclaimed. Okay, here's who we got on the docket here tonight. You know, I shouldn't have said docket. Docket's a law term, not the docket. Here's who are our guests coming on the show tonight. So Houston Dynamo defender Griffin Dorsey, and I intend on asking him about the U.S. national team. I intend on asking him about what is the obvious matchup coming up against Sporting Kansas City since Logan and Dembe got injured. So my gut is Tim Leibold is going to be the guy that gets to start at the outside back position. The German, he's played in the Bundesliga. I would sense that he's going to get the start. After the injury to Logan and Dembe. By the way, and Dembe played 44 minutes with a torn ACL, which is kind of bizarre. But that's a challenge for Sporting Kansas City. We're going to ask their manager, Peter Vermees, about that. Now, one thing I'm going to say about Peter and I, way back, before MLS even was started, this is when I first got connected to Peter. Playing in, I think it was the ASL, American Soccer League. But at that point, I realized how passionate, how intense he was about football. Every time I ask for an interview, he gives it to me and handles any question. And this is a really, really interesting interview. And by the way, I've had very good interviews with Ben Olsen this year. But he is not afraid to say or talk about anything. And that's confidence that comes from a manager. Marcelo Balboa, Apple TV, former U.S. international. He'll be on the show. And remember, tonight I have playoff tickets to give out. Dynamo Sporting Kansas City. I think it's 9 days. So I want to start on a bit of a somber note and also a celebratory note because of the man he was that was laid to rest, Sir Bobby Charlton. And, you know, instead of just saying, hey, RIP Bobby Charlton, for those that maybe don't know as much about him. And I'm looking for some of my sound on him. I just found it. Okay, so Sir Bobby Charlton was laid to rest. Everybody came out. That was Manchester United history, lore, you name it, they were there. 86 years old. He passed away on October 21st. He, if you noticed, wasn't showing up to Manchester United games. He was out of the public eye due to dementia, which has been a huge... There's a huge story there, and I think somebody's already done it. But there is a huge dementia problem with players in England that the English FA, I think, is kind of swept under the carpet. But Nobby Styles, all these guys had dementia, and a lot of it is potentially based on head injuries, heading soccer balls, concussions, you name it. But we're not going to get into that. Bobby Charlton was laid to rest at the Manchester Cathedral. Everybody was coming in. So let me just talk about him as a player. World Cup winner, 66 with England. European Cup winner with Manchester United against Benfica. Alex Stepney was the goalkeeper who made the legendary save in that game. We're going to hear from him on Bobby Charlton. He made that legendary save against Eusebio. And by the way, Tom Clare, our wonderful man that we never forget about, and also I consider him a great friend who recently passed also. He spoke so much. He's the one who brought Alex Stepney to Houston for our dinner. But to hear Tom talk about Sir Bobby Charlton was something special. Bobby Charlton also won the Ballon d'Or 106 times for England, 49 goals. He survived the Munich air disaster. So if you remember the plane that crashed in Germany, he was hospitalized. He was one of the first of the Busby Babes to leave the hospital. Duncan Edwards was in there, all these famous, thriving young soccer players. But he survived the disaster. So did the likes of Dennis Violet. So did a number of other people. His passing, though, get this, leaves only the legendary striker Jeff Hurst, the last surviving member of the 1966 England World Cup winning squad. Sir Bobby Charlton was a huge charitable man. Testimony came in at his burial from all kinds of people. Brian Robson, Mark Hughes, everybody that came through Manchester United understood the humility, the time for others. You hear that over and over with Sir Bobby Charlton. Pretty remarkable. So let's start here. Here's Alex Stepney, who played at Manchester United with him, won the European Cup. Here's Alex Stepney, who's just a wonderful gentleman. I got an email back from him today after just sending my condolences. He was in Houston. He went around. He was at the Dynamo game. He was spectacular, Alex. What a gentleman. Here's Alex Stepney, goalkeeper Manchester United, on his teammate and his favorite Sir Bobby Charlton memory.
One of the most memorable things, I would say, that whether we were winning, whether we were losing at halftime or drawing at halftime, Bobby, we can score four more. We can score four goals. And that was the way Manchester United were playing. That's what he wanted. And his passing, his great goal scoring, and, you know, it was poetry in motion when he picked the ball up.
Poetry in motion. That's what Alex Stepney says about Bobby Charlton. And if we talk about him as a player, first of all, he was a long-range finisher. We know that. Spectacular player. Work rate. You heard what Alex Stepney said there about his leadership qualities. But you talk to people about him as a player, and it's off the charts, the amount of different things that he can do. Now, here's his brother, Tommy Charlton, and I thought this was a really interesting soundbite. This is Tommy Charlton. He's speaking to Sky News. Tommy Charlton on his brother, Bobby.
And know that since they died, the died as my brothers, not as famous footballers. And that is difficult for me. It's difficult to separate the two. And it's heartwarming to see the number of people, thousands of people, telling me that the respected Bob.
So that's Tommy Charlton on his brother, Sir Bobby Charlton, who was laid to rest after passing away on October 21st at 86 years of age at the Manchester Cathedral. So Manchester United fans in mourning, but also celebrating the career. So when you heard his brother there, I mean, that's a brother just talking about he was my brother. He also mentioned Jack Charlton, who passed away a couple of years before. And there was a legendary kind of rift between Bobby and Jack. But that was Tommy Charlton talking about his brother. And then let's listen to Sir Bobby himself. Now, this is really, really interesting, this sound that I found. It's him talking about the infamous 1999 comeback, Manchester United against Bayern Munich. That's the one where Matthäus was twirling the towel because he thought it was over. And United comes back in stoppage time to win this. Now, listen to this, because remember, this is him commenting about that game. This is not him commenting about a game that he played in. Okay, so here we go. Sir Bobby Charlton on the 99 Manchester United team. And in essence here, this is his love of football coming out to me.
And we were playing against Bayern Munich, and we were a goal down with 2 minutes to go. And I thought, if we can just get the ball into the box, you know, they can call it blind faith, what you want. But I thought, if we can just get the ball in the box and we can get a goal, it'll give us that little bit of extra time. We'll win this still. I was convinced that we could win. And then the ball came across. And because it was 2 minutes from the end, Peter Schmeichel, the goalkeeper, came up. And I don't know what it is about the Germans. You know, they could be very orderly and disciplined, but it threw them completely. You know, they had all the plans for who they were going to mark, but suddenly this great big blonde goalkeeper, this Dane, came up and it threw them completely. And suddenly, for the first time, there was a bit of disarray in their defence, and the ball fell to Ryan Giggs, who hit the ball into the... Or Dwight York first, hit the ball into the box. Four of their defenders had gone with Peter Schmeichel, and then the ball fell to Terry Sheringham, and he didn't hit it well, but he hit it goalwards, and then you see the back of the net, and I'm up, and I can't remember really. I remember apologising to some people in front of me for jumping over them, very important FIFA officials as well, and then I sat back, and I tried to keep myself cool, but while I was actually thinking, keep cool, we went and we got a corner. David Beckham knocks the ball across, Teddy Sheringham helps it on, and Gunnar Solskjaer knocks the ball into the net, and as the ball hits the net, for me it was as though the world stood still. I thought, this is what paradise is all about. It's got to be. And I honestly do not remember what I did for about 5 minutes. I went up to my wife and my daughter, my son-in-law were up there. I dashed up to them. I dashed back, and suddenly the world was great again. And I thought, well, there is nothing ever going to be better than this.
Suddenly the world was great again. I mean, I got chills down my spine listening to him. That's Sir Bobby Charlton, a World Cup winner with England, 66, European Cup winner with Manchester United, Ballon d'Or winner. And he's talking about Manchester United's comeback against Bayern in 99. I mean, that's what football is all about, right? That's what football is all about. So, Sir Bobby Charlton, rest in peace. This is Blind Faith. It's called Sea of Love. We got a sea of love for Sir Bobby Charlton, that's for sure. Tough year. Pelé, Sir Bobby Charlton, losing a lot of greats. Those that set the tone, those that tilled the soil for the current athletes. And by the way, you got to wonder what they think about the money being made by soccer players right now. All right, Soccer Matters. ESPN 97.5 is brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. John's firm, personal injury attorneys. Get in a car, boat, motorcycle accident. There is only one firm to go to. It's the Daspit Law Firm here in Houston. They also bring you soccer on the airwaves. And, boy, they are all about it with Copa America, World Cup 2026 coming here. Big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Yeah, see ya.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Where is La Pulguita?
Well, I know where La Pulguita is. He's playing right now, and he's down 1-0 to Uruguay in South American World Cup qualifying. That was Diego Maradona, or a facsimile of his vice. It wasn't the real Diego Maradona, but that's a cartoon that's online. And he comes in the room and he says, "Donde está La Pulguita?" Well, La Pulguita right now, Lionel Messi is down 1-0 to Uruguay. Ronald Araujo scoring the goal, the excellent center back for Barcelona. And this game is in Argentina, by the way. So we're on to the second half now. It's into the 56th minute. You got also Trinidad and Tobago in Austin. The Soca Warriors taking on the U.S. men's national team. That starts at 8 o'clock tonight. We have coming up on this show some tremendous interviews. Griffin Dorsey, Peter Vermees, Sporting Kansas City manager. And we are going to do, in the next segment, a lot of talk on that game. And, of course, next week we will be able to preview the final even more. We're hoping to get Ben Olsen on the show and many, many others to keep the momentum going here. 713-780-3776. What do you have to say? Houston Dynamo, two games away from an MLS Cup. Do you believe it? Also, you got Uruguay and Argentina right now. You got the U.S. men's national team. What about Griffin Dorsey? Is this a guy that now has to be considered for the U.S. national team? I say yes, and I'm going to tell you why. But right now, it's 713-780-3776, Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. By the way, you may be watching Uruguay and Argentina out at Hugh O'Connor's Pub. It is steak night out there. It's a great place to go. Go in there, see Dave and Goose. They have an amazing whiskey offerings, beer offerings, the bangers and mash, the traditional English food, but it is exceptional. Fish and chips. I think you've been there, Guillermo, right?
Yeah, I've been there a couple of times for our live shows that we would do during the World Cup. And food, phenomenal. Beer choices, phenomenal. Everything, phenomenal.
You got it. Fully endorsed by producer Guillermo Lazo Romero. That means you got to get there. All right, U.S. Youth National Team, under 17. Match day one in Group E. They beat South Korea. Actually, this was a really entertaining game. South Korea was impressive as well. The U.S. win it 3-1. So there's a 15-year-old kid on the team, Charlotte FC product. His name is Ninfasha Bershimas. Two goals for him, 7th and 73rd, and Ivan Medina got one for the U.S. in the 49th. Very, very interesting game, up and down. There was an overhead bicycle kick. South Korea hit the post. So the under-17 World Cup is going on. Now, obviously, you don't go off the charts and go overboard on players because a lot happens. But there is some highly talented players in this tournament. The head coach for the U.S. is Costa Rican international Gonzalo Sagares, who played college soccer here in the United States. So there's one more group game. The U.S. is advanced. They're 2-0. They will take on France, who's 2-0. The U.S. has scored 5 goals, 2 goals conceded. France has scored 4 goals, yet to give a goal up. Now, they then played Burkina Faso. This was their second win to advance them. They beat them 2-1. And Bershima scored again in first half stoppage time. But you know who else scored for the U.S.? Listen to this one, Houston Dynamo fan and Honduras fan and Wigan Athletic fan. Carol Figueroa, Minor Figueroa's son, is the center forward for the U.S. under-17 national team. And he scored one of the goals. I'm not sure if he's back at the Liverpool Academy because I remember my interview with Minor, which was excellent a couple of years ago. He had come back because of COVID and the pandemic, but he may be back there now. I'm not 100% sure. U.S. had 67% of the possession against Burkina Faso. Burkina Faso was pushing like crazy at the end of that game. So it'll be a final matchup between France and the U.S. to see who is one or two in the under-17 World Cup. A lot of these games have been going on in the middle of the night. Okay, let's switch gears here a little bit. By the way, that music was Jethro Tull. It's called Hymn 43, coming back from break. It still remains 1-0 in the 60th minute right now. Uruguay's on the road at Argentina winning, and Lionel Messi is out there. Still plenty of time. So we start off with some let's jump around the world here. Let's start at the 2-1 win for Barcelona against Alaves. And Robert Lewandowski, who has been coming back from injury, hasn't had a lot of form, scores a winning goal in this one.
En la línea, poca carrera, va el polaco, Lewandowski, gol, gol.
All right, so there we have that. Let's go to Savio. Now, Savio's a 19-year-old Brazilian. He has 4 goals and 4 assists, 13 appearances, and he plays for Girona, who is number one in Spain's La Liga. And you probably don't know that club unless you're a deep, deep La Liga fan. But they are number one. They are ahead of 2 points ahead of Real Madrid. They're 4 points ahead of Barcelona. So here is the 19-year-old getting the game winner against Rayo Vallecano.
Alguien más tendrá que salir al paso. Mientras tanto, el Girona dentro del área. Toquecito corto. ¡Qué segundo, el segundo, el segundo! ¡Todavía Savio gol! ¡Gol!
Savio, 19-year-old Brazilian. Keep an eye on him. 4 goals, 4 assists on the year. And another young star, Lamine Yamal, scoring his second. Obviously, he's a Barcelona player, this time scoring for Spain in a 3-1 victory against Cyprus.
Gavi se mete bien entre líneas, vamos a ver, buscan ahí a José, no le va a caer a Lamine Yamal, golazo, Lamine Yamal, golazo, Lamine Yamal, gol.
So there you go, Lamine Yamal. So our good friend who comes on the show, Jordi Sunyer, he also calls the reserve team games of Barcelona, play-by-play. So apparently, he sent me a funny video. He was doing a goal call, and it was a big comeback in the game. I don't remember the game. But Lamine Yamal was in the crowd right next to his commentary position. And the video was funny. Somebody shot it. It got a whole bunch of looks because Jordi, who works for TV3 and has done so many great interviews on this show, goes into his big goal call. And Lamine Yamal was just kind of stunned there, standing there looking at him as he went into this call. So it was pretty cool. Interesting stuff coming out about Manchester United. And you know, for all of you who always say, oh, Chelsea are the big spenders. And yeah, you know, Manchester United spent $1 billion since 2018. A billion. They got one trophy, the Moose Cup, in 22-23. Okay? 31 players. So during this time period, it's Mourinho, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer as managers, up until now with Erik ten Hag. But if I mention names here, you can say in your mind, has he been a hit or a miss? So we can go through a ton of them. Cristiano Ronaldo, Anthony, Harry Maguire. Maguire started out very good for Manchester United. But the sum and fee they paid for him from Leicester City was off the charts. Crazy. Fred, Diogo Dalot, Casemiro, Donny van de Beek, Jadon Sancho. A lot of these are misses. Lisandro Martinez, injured. Odion Ighalo. Tejas. Edinson Cavani. Rafael Varane. So you can go on and on and look at these guys and decide in your mind if these were good signings. But $1 billion spent since 2018. So you can't say they're not spending money on players. Is it poor talent assessment? That has to be a consideration here. I don't think there's any question. Okay, so we got still 1-0 Uruguay over Argentina. It's now in the 64th minute. Now we have the U.S. men's national team coming up against Trinidad and Tobago. By the way, if you're saying, well, this is a more, you know, this isn't important. Yes, it is. It's to qualify for the Copa America, which is going to be held here in the U.S. next year. So it is important. And let's not forget, a very arrogant U.S. national team got knocked out of the World Cup by Trinidad and Tobago in the last game of qualifying for it. Apparently, the U.S. had already been partying, all kinds of things. But you'll remember that dreadful moment, which turned into a great moment about 2 days after it, because this accelerated the development of the national team, moving into the team, the Weston McKinneys, the Tyler Adamses. Now, we do a deep dive on them already. They have had a good World Cup. They got a World Cup behind them. Pulisic, McKinney, Adams, all these guys. They have a World Cup behind them. They totally outplayed the England midfield in that World Cup, right? They were gassed by the time they ran into their elimination match, in my opinion. So that's somewhere where the U.S. has got to improve. How to navigate your group play without blowing it all out. We always seem to get into the second phase of the World Cup pretty exhausted. And we did put a lot of burden on the likes of McKennie, Adams, and you could see it in the knockout stages. So here's Greg Berhalter right now, because they will get underway in probably a half hour up in Austin, Texas. Here's Greg Berhalter on the state and mentality of the current U.S. men's national team.
We talked through with the team about September and October being learning experiences, playing against different opponents, feeling these different opponents out, whether they're Asian World Cup potential opponents or top European teams or an African team with history of being in the World Cup and playing against us. And November turns the page, and now it's about competing. We want to win the Nations League again. This will set us up to do this. We want to play in the Copa America. This will set us up to do this. So, you know, the guys are focused. The mindset, even though it's a short week, has been focused and intense from day one. And we're looking forward to competing against a much improved Trinidad team.
Okay, so it's pretty laid out. It's all about competition now. You got to win tonight. And we're looking for a performance from the U.S. that's, I would say, pretty dominant over Trinidad and Tobago. We need to see that with the pedigree of the players that we have on this squad now. And look, I can understand why Griffin Dorsey wasn't brought in to this camp, but he has to be being looked at right now. And we'll talk about that a little bit more tonight. But Griffin Dorsey, when I look at the roster and Baker Whiting, Reed, I think is his name, Seattle's on it, DeJuan Jones, I can see a Griffin Dorsey with his work ethic, his ability to control the side of the field as a potential now in the future to get into U.S. Camps and rosters. And I'm sure U.S. soccer has been watching what he's been doing and has been alerted to it. I don't think there's any question. But I'm going to ask Griffin Dorsey later on in the interview about that. 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Speaking about the future, Neymar, and you got Brazil-Argentina next week, by the way, but right now Argentina's got their hands full with Uruguay. Neymar, obviously, I think he may be done. I think Neymar may be done with the national team. He got the injury against Uruguay. He was in tears, tore his knee up. He's had a successful ACL, but he might be done. He's playing over in, where, Al-Hilal now? Did he make, he made the jump over to the Middle East. So can he be a part of the 2024 Copa America roster? It all depends how he comes back. I think one of the reasons Paris Saint-Germain sold him was because he wasn't durable, and he was a liability from an injury standpoint, kind of frail. I mean, he missed 100 games there. That's a lot to pay that kind of money for him. Got to show up to the job. So I mean, this isn't any big revelation, but his national team career is a big question mark right now. It's all going to depend on how much he desires it, how much he wants to come back. But Brazil without Neymar, what do you think? 713-780-3776. So that's a big one. So I saw with interest a sideline reporter from the NFL. Her name is Carissa Thompson. And she admitted to completely making up NFL sideline reports. So essentially was lying to you while you watch TV. Now, everybody debates about sideline reporters, their use, what's important. Some people said, well, it's not a big deal. So you like being lied to. Or is that just acceptable now? I don't get it. 713-780-3776, the number to call in here tonight. Do you like sideline reporters? Let's say specifically on a soccer game. And is it not a big deal that Carissa Thompson admitted to completely making up reports? What do you want? I always thought the asset of a sideline reporter on soccer matches was to be in and around the bench and hear some of the things that coaches would be saying and pushing, because that's a place you, the viewer at home, or me, the commentator up in a booth, we can't get there. I always thought that would be interesting to get, pick up some tactical pieces, or, you know, player coming off that's got words for a coach. Take us in there. You have to be careful on a soccer game when you do a long-winded story. You got to make sure you're pretty economical with your words, because if it goes on and on, you're generally going to be talking over game action, and you're going to get into a penalty area at some point. It's going to be dangerous. But I like them on the sideline in the games. I like having a third person. But I want them to, in my opinion, be picking up some of the nuances coming from coaches and the benches and things that we can't see or hear. All right, this is one of the all-time great 80s songs. Echo and the Bunnymen, Lips Like Sugar. All right, we'll take a break. It's Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Don't forget, LamontBrands.com for your Soccer Matters t-shirts and trucker hats. You get those. It all goes to the 501c charity Snowdrop Foundation. By the way, get orange ones right now. It's playoff time. Get the orange with black. It's beautiful. And you'll be supporting what is an incredible cause. Okay, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We got more to come. We're going to hit Dynamo Talk here. Next segment in Sporting Kansas City.
Of course, my love. Ronaldo has to look his best in Brazil.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Dorsey stands over it against McMath to advance the Dynamo. Here is Dorsey. He's done it. He's done it. Clifford Dorsey has hit the penalty. It's on to the Western Conference semifinals. Dorsey's done it.
It is a remarkable turnaround in his career and the element he's added to the Houston Dynamo from the right back position. Opponents have to now respect his ability to jump into the attack. He had one moment in that game. He dribbled three guys. I think it's the one where, you know, nobody made a stand on him. Once he gets running at people that are backpedaling or are motionless, it's like he's shot out of a cannon. And your feet aren't moving. He's gone. He had a huge chance that he pulled wide, and it was a straight-on shot. Boy, you got two good goalkeepers coming into this series, too. Tim Melia and also Steve Clark. By the way, Melia has never lost a penalty kick shootout. That's one Dynamo fans are going to have to think about here. You know what? I'm feeling playoff. You know, it's just exciting now to see that we're in the playoffs, to know we have a playoff game in 9 days, to know we have a team that just is 180 degrees better than anything we've seen here for so long. I can feel it as a commentator, just how uplifted that I am to be able to have the privilege of calling the games, watching Hector Herrera orchestrate, turn into this remarkable leader here. To see the emergence of a Griffin Dorsey, to see what type of an influence Eric Svechenko has had, another huge signing from the Dynamo, how good they have been collectively from a defensive standpoint, and then timing-wise have added to the attack and have balanced that with a bit of a wide game now. To see Quiñones mature and still keep fighting to grow as a player in his player development. So we're going to talk about the Houston Dynamo now, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. I want to know what's on your mind about the Dynamo heading into this with Sporting Kansas City. They drew once, and Sporting beat the Dynamo 2-1 in the two matchups this year. Quick recap here, though, just to kind of relive the match against RSL. Went three games. The Dynamo out of the three games was the only team to legitimately win a game over 90 minutes, and they did that in game one. The next two went to penalty kicks. So let's go back to the final game. It was all at stake here. The Dynamo would get through ultimately on penalties. They'd get the game's first goal here. Hector Herrera would nod this one back to the left foot of Corey Baird, but here's what it sounded like on ESPN 97.5.
Herrera bends it in, and he hit that with venom. It skips all the way over to Quiñones. He's going to fire it back in. It ball is still loose. Oh, yes, it's 1-0. It is 1-0. It's Corey Baird. He pounces on the rebound.
Real Salt Lake would tie things up in the 65th minute, and tell you, this is a rising star in Major League Soccer. His name is Diego Luna. He's only 20 years old. He's represented the U.S. at the youth international level. He's got an interesting frame. He's kind of a boxy guy, very technical. He is a fighter. This kid was in absolute tears at the end of this game because in a minute you'll realize why, because Steve Clark saved his penalty, but he tied it up in the 65th.
Ojeda now. He switches it. It's Oviedo. He'll get across into the four post. A header. It's tied up. It's Diego Luna.
And he was completely unmarked, by the way. Came out of midfield. I mean, that was a free header. He pounded it in. He put his head through it, but that was a free header. On to penalty kicks, Steve Clark with the save on Diego Luna.
It's Luna. Luna. Save Clark! Save Clark! Steve Clark has saved Luna.
Nelson Quiñones missed his PK.
Quiñones to his left. Quiñones, save McMath. Oh, no. It is now tied after four rounds.
Then Danny Muskovsky, who was put in the game to take a penalty for Real Salt Lake, comes in, and here's what happens with his penalty.
It's Muskovsky to regain the lead here for RSL against Clark. Muskovsky was a second-half sub. His penalty. Off the post, it doesn't go in. He's missed it.
So that's on ESPN 97.5. By the way, we have the semifinal against Sporting. And it set up the Griffin Dorsey winner. You know what? Let's listen to it again because we love hearing the game winner here.
Dorsey stands over it against McMath to advance the Dynamo. Here is Dorsey. He's done it. He's done it. Griffin Dorsey has hit the penalty. It's on to the Western Conference semifinals.
Emotional night for everybody. It's been a long wait. And the seriousness with which Pat Onstad, Asher Mendelson, new ownership, has taken the competitive side of this Dynamo team. 17 different changes. It's been great. It's a football team now that is capable of the short, tight 1-2s, the give and goes. But it also has a wide game now, which you have to complement that. And there are teams playing with a concentration of people in midfield. RSL did it. They broke the Dynamo rhythm. And let's not forget, RSL prevented the Dynamo from beating them twice. So I don't think you want to go to the penalty kick bank against Sporting Kansas City with Tim Melia in goal. He's never lost in a penalty kick shootout. But you want to win this in regulation. Now, the Dynamo dominated the possession in this, chances created. They got into the final third a lot. For me, my concern was Amin Bassi and Coco. End product. End product has got to come. You're going to have to beat Sporting during regulation. That's the bottom line, and that's going to take goals. And I thought Amin Bassi, I thought Coco Carrasquilla had real opportunity in this game to produce. I also thought that at times, the Dynamo passed responsibility in the attacking third when it came to shooting, recognizing shooting opportunities, hitting them with conviction, hitting them with confidence. I thought they bypassed that a lot. And a lot of times they overpassed it, and a lot of times they overpassed it to Hector Herrera. And there are moments here that Amin Bassi, Coco, and others have to step up and have to recognize these shooting opportunities with conviction. Again, they're not noted goal scorers in their careers, Coco and Amin. Nobody's talking about their work ethic. Their work ethic's off the charts. There's nobody on this team that doesn't work. Ben Olsen's got these guys working. They're working for each other. They're committed. They're together. There's great leadership in Sviatchenko and in that line of the team. Then you got Hector, who influences everybody and the tactics. But I think the question, you know, you hope it's, you can go through by committee, but some other people are going to have to step up and produce a goal. On the other hand, you can say, ah, you're crazy. Doesn't matter. They're still advancing. And you know what? They could advance and keep going through the way they are. But they're going to have to start winning games in regulation. And I do believe, and if you're talking about Amin, Amin has scored a lot of goals off penalty kicks. So don't forget that. But the Dynamo are going to have their goal-scoring boots on. I don't think there's any question. And they're going to have to, when they get chances, they're going to have to take advantage of them. And this is going to be a beat-down drag-out against Sporting Kansas City. A lot of the guys on the Dynamo currently don't know the history of it. Doesn't matter. You're going to be up for this anyway. It's getting closer to the Holy Grail. Can you imagine? Only two games away from the MLS Cup final. Did you expect that, Diego? I mean, Guillermo?
No. Just being honest, I never saw this coming. Ever since I heard that Hector was coming to the Dynamo, I always had high hopes and I always wanted to see how that would turn out, but never would I have ever imagined this turnout.
I thought it was a playoff team. I thought it was going to land, and my premise was simply because I knew everybody was trying to turn the team over, but when you have Artur, when that Artur signing came through, you got Hector Herrera, you got Coco in midfield, you got something to work with there. I mean, you got real material there, right? Of course, the other big question was Hector buy-in. You got the Hector buy-in. In fact, Hector's out there tonight on behalf of, I think, Bud. He's at a grocery store in North Houston signing autographs, big line of people. I posted it. That's fantastic. He's out there. He's connecting. Both on and off the field. Now, don't get me wrong. It's good to be sponsored by Bud. It's a paid event. But this all benefits the Houston Dynamo. That's the way it works. He's a big star. Atletico Madrid, Mexico, over 100 times. Everything he gets, he deserves. And I'll tell you, he has been fun to watch this year. Under pressure with the ball, the way he uses his body. And holy smoke, Uruguay is up 2-0 on Argentina right now. They just scored again. Wow, this is going to be a body blow. Now you're going to all of a sudden, you're going to get people questioning Messi. Does he still have it for Argentina? And in fact, he got stripped at the top of the box, which led to this counterattack with an overcommitted Argentina. And it's Nunez in the 87th that's going to get the goal. And Argentina is down 2-0. Give me that. Bring La Pulguita back. I think we need to. Donde está?
Where is La Pulguita?
La Pulguita is not winning right now. He's losing 2-0 to Uruguay in Argentina. Boy, this is a huge win for Argentina. I mean, excuse me, for Uruguay. It's not over yet. It's 2-0 now. Still time. All right, 713-780-3776. So let's continue with our Dynamo talk here. Sporting Kansas City, and we got Peter Vermees coming up. We've got Griffin Dorsey coming up, and you got Marcelo Balboa. Now, the reason I brought Marcelo on also, former U.S. International Hall of Fame, Apple TV, he's got the call of that game. So you'll hear his thoughts on the Dynamo Sporting. You'll hear Peter Vermees' thoughts on the Dynamo Sporting, and you'll hear Griffin Dorsey. There's nowhere in Houston you're going to get this kind of coverage. We're just going to gloat in our glory here. There's nowhere. Okay, so if you want to get up on this game, you want to get into the weeds a little bit and get the sense of what Griffin Dorsey is feeling, Peter Vermees is feeling, and Marcelo Balboa, who's going to call the game, you will. You're getting a little bit from me, And I want to hear from you as well. And, you know, what's that? Yeah, you do it.
And just make sure if you can't catch the interviews right now, they will be on that YouTube channel. So just stay tuned and subscribe.
And that's why he is Guillermo Lazo Romero. What a great name. Wish I had a cool name like that. Glenn Davis is pretty, that's pretty simple. There's a lot of Davises in the world. Some will claim and some we won't. But it's a good thing I didn't get my mother's name, Nesselhoff. And I've looked all over the Bundesliga to see if there's any German players, Nesselhoff. Have not found one. Nesselhoff. Yeah, my mom's still alive, 97. All right. How about a little Van Halen? Dance the Night Away. We've been feeling pretty good about the Houston Dynamo. Still, it's too much of an underlying story here in Houston with the Texans, and now we're going on the Rockets, and we got a new Astros manager. Got to break through. We're doing everything we can. It's Peter Vermes versus Ben Olsen, two fiery managers. Both teams pressing games, transition games. They can press. There'll be chances created off the press. Who has the better finishers? You got to go sporting with Alan Pulido and Shallowy. They've got a huge injury to Logan Ndembe. He's likely going to be replaced by the German Tim Leibold. That's on the same side of the field as Griffin Dorsey. All right, we're dancing the night away. Right now, two people are going to get very happy. I got a pair of tickets right now. It's 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Pair of tickets. The Houston Dynamo sporting Kansas City. It's finality. It's one game. It's a week from Sunday, Shell Energy Stadium. It's to go to the Western Conference Final. Caller number 5, 713-780-3776.
Would you like to see the end of God?